26, where you've still got Paul, and he's still in Caesarea, and he's been in prison there 2 years, and was first under Felix, then Festus. We saw him time before last, I guess, appeal his case to Caesar. So we know he's heading to Rome, but as we saw last week, King Agrippa, his wife Bernice, they've stopped by, and as Festus is running it by him, Agrippa that is, trying to figure out what he ought to do with Paul, Agrippa, as his interest peaked, and has a desire to have an audience with Paul. That's kind of where we left off last week. They've brought Agrippa in, and they brought Bernice in under much pomp, Luke says. A lot of fanfare. All of the chief of the captains, all of the chief people of the city, huge congregation, and now they've called up Paul. That's where we'll begin our reading in verse 1, chapter 26. Verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day, before thee, touching all things, whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they testify, that after the most stringent sect, or straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, in which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I barely thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing also I did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw the light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name, God, that you'd help us as we stand to preach the Word of God. Lord, if you don't help us, there'd be no need to be in here. But God, if you'd speak to us and through us, give us a ready mind, Lord, be able to see these things as they come out of the Scriptures tonight. Lord, I believe you got some things you want to show us this evening. I pray that you would. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's look at this first half. I've almost got a half this up. There's just too much to look at in one night. So we just read down about halfway through this story. Paul gives his message to Agrippa. And it's one of the, maybe, you might say, it may be the best sermon of Paul that we have recorded. This one is gold. What he gives Agrippa, man, it is, it's top notch. And, I want to look at it just a little while. They've brought Paul up. They've got him out before Agrippa. Now, the first thing that I would point out to you tonight is the satisfaction of Paul. Look what he said. Agrippa says to him, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." And so then Paul stretched forth the hand. Now, I mentioned that last week. And so many times Paul would begin his messages with a beckoning of the hand. Beckon of the hands. I believe, maybe say amen right here. I believe that Paul was an animated preacher. He always was moving, beckoning with his hands. I don't believe he was a monotone expositor, but rather an animated preacher. And we see him stretch forth his hands. He beckons with his hands. And I find it interesting what he says here. He says in verse 2, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa." Now, why in the world would he have said that? I mean, he's been in jail, even though it's kind of a loose custody. He's been in jail now over 2 years, lashed through two Roman procurators, they've tried to kill him. He stands before Agrippa and he said, "I tell you, King Agrippa, I'm just tickled to death to be here." He had a mini pearl moment. "I'm just tickled to death to be here." He said, I think myself happy. Now, I got thinking about that this morning as I was studying on it. Why Paul thought himself happy? Well, he tells us why. Look what he said. "Because I shall answer for myself this day." Every court proceeding that Paul has been involved in up until this, what there's been an accuser. The Jews, they came by themselves one time and laid many grievous burdens on him. They came back and brought Tertullus, the lawyer, and he was a paid orator, and he laid things to Paul's charge. And even this last time, before Festus, the Jews came down and they laid things. But here Paul is finally able to stand up and say what's on his heart without the heckling and without the troubling of a defense lawyer or a crowd on the other side. And boy, when he looked out and saw that grand congregation, he looked over there on the other side of the stand and saw there was nobody there to witness against him. And he heard Agrippa say, "Paul, you're going to get to speak freely." He said, "Oh boy, it's preaching time. And that makes me happy, King Agrippa, that I'm going to get to speak freely for the first time in 2 years. Paul said, I'm going to get to preach the message that I've wanted to preach all along. I don't have to try to address the lies that the Jews have said. I'm not going to say something and them pop up and say, that's not true. That's not..." Oh boy. He said, "Hang on, honey. I'm getting ready to lay it out." And so he's getting ready to preach him a little message here. And he's satisfied with the operation of it. Now look what he says to Agrippa. He says there, "I shall answer for myself," or in verse 2, "before thee, touching all things whereof I'm accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews." I began to think about this. When Jesus was born, Agrippa's great-granddad killed the babies. When John was a preaching, Agrippa's granddad had him killed. When James come out a preaching, Agrippa's daddy had him done in with. Paul's, he'd been pretty slick right here. He said, I know you know about the customs of the Jews. Say, the whole patriarch, the whole Herod patriarch had been involved. And Paul knew that. I almost want to say it this way. One thing about text is you don't always hear inflection. It'd be good sometimes if you could hear the inflection. I almost want to say it this way. Paul almost seems like he's saying, you know how them Jews are. You know how they are. You know how their court works. Boy, he said, am I glad to be talking before you today, Festus? Because I happen to know that you know how them Jews behave. And boy, I believe you're going to hear some things today that make your little head nod up and down. Because you've been around them. You've seen how they operate. You know what I'm a-fixing to talk about. But I got thinking. You'd have thought Paul might have been a little bashful right here. You almost, don't you think if it was you, think about if it was you. Don't you think that would have scared you to death to be standing before Agrippa? His daddy's a murderer, his granddaddy's a murderer, his great-granddaddy's a murderer, and they've all been involved with preaching and the line of Jesus and all those things. Boy, I thought to myself, the last thing that I want to do is say anything about the Lord, but boy, we see tonight, and I've already read it, so you've already seen it. Paul didn't mince no words, jumps right into it, and with boldness begins to give the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you this question. If time lasts, I wonder if there won't be some of us that'll have to stand before the judges and the tribunals. I mean, the way things are going, and give an account for our faith. Would you be bold like Paul is? He didn't mince words, did he? Now, let's look at it. We see the story that he tells. Now, I love the Apostle Paul. He starts back. He always likes to lay this groundwork. And he says there in verse number 4, my manner of life. He said, let's review my life. From my youth, I was among mine own nation at Jerusalem. Now look what he says right here. He says, at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which know me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Paul said, let me tell you a little bit about me, Agrippa. I've been on that side of the fence. I know what I'm talking about. I was raised down there on a certain street. And when I moved up here from Jerusalem, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And I learned how to be a Pharisee. I know all the ins and the outs of it. I'm not some fly-by-night just happened up in here. But I know a few things. And so he starts back at his thirst up. Starts back at his childhood, and he's going to bring Agrippa all the way up through it. And he rehearses it. He says, listen, I had them killed. I had them in prison. All these things. I drug them out of their homes. Let me tell you how terrible. I hated the Christians. I persecuted the Christians. Now notice what he says right here. He gives us some information. Let me say this. Three times Paul tells this. His story of conversion and his old life. Here, again in Acts 22 and then again in Acts 9. This is the third and final time he's going to tell it. But he gives us some information right here that he didn't give us anywhere else. Watch what he says right here. Here's some information that might catch your eye. He first says in verse number 10, he says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, watch this, I gave my voice against them. I gave my voice against them. Now, that's an interesting thought. Here's what Paul's saying. He said, remember that trial that he was in there a few Wednesdays ago when he was before that big council at Sanhedrin? Paul said, I've been in that before, except I wasn't the one accused. I was sitting in a circle. So when they decided they'd put somebody to death, Paul said, it was my voice, voted for it. He said, I just was a murderer of a bunch of Christians. That's an interesting thing to point out. This is just a little bit of a sideline. That seems to indicate that Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin. That seems to indicate that. In order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, he had to be married. Of course, we know now Paul's not. So there's a lot of people that would speculate that Paul had a wife that died young or some such thing. He lived as a widower. And this is one of the proof texts for that. It's quite possible that Paul was on the Sanhedrin. But anyway, when they said they drug them Christians in there, Paul said, listen, I voted for every one of them to die. I hated them that bad. I wanted to see them dead. I hated this way. I hated everything about it. What happened? Paul had a change of life. That's where he's headed with this. He's had a change of life. So he tells this story. He lays this background. Now, some of the best testifying that you'll ever do is not bragging on what you used to be, but let everybody know that you used to be. But God made a difference out of you. Amen. That's what Paul always did. He laid his background. He said, let me tell you how sorry I used to be. Let me tell you how I want to kill all them Christians. Let me tell you how I voted for them. I voted, left my voice up and said, amen. They ought to die. Every last one of them drug them out of their home. Boy, I was a wicked feller. Agrippa's sitting there with his mouth open looking at Paul and said, Regan, what happened to this fella? Now, before I get to his salvation experience, there's a few verses I skipped there that I want to deal with. Look at the connection Paul makes right here. This is brilliant. Look what he says. Verse 6, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Look at verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Now notice this circular logic that Paul shows. He said, Agrippa, who is it's got me in prison? It's the Jews. What if I was to tell you that the God I've been preaching about is the same God they believe in? What if I were to tell you that what Jesus is doing and building a church is not against the God of the Old Testament, but He was sent from the God of the Old Testament? What if I was to tell you He was the one that the prophet spoke of? What if I was to tell you He was the very promise? What if I was to tell you that the one I'm preaching about is the one they've been looking for? Connected those things up. Then watch what he said. He said, Agrippa, why is it a strange thing to you that a man be raised from the dead? Now, have you noticed in this whole line of Paul being in prison, he keeps coming back around to the resurrection? That's a major ordeal. The Sadducees, they said the resurrection was past. And the certain sects of the Jews, the resurrection was past. But when Paul stood up, he's always talking about the resurrection. What was it that got Agrippa's attention when it was that Festus was talking to him? It's when Festus said, Paul, he affirms that Jesus is risen from the dead. Boy, when he said that, Agrippa said, I've got to hear this man. Boy, the Holy Ghost of God was up yonder in the room listening. And he come down there and he laid it on the heart of the Apostle Paul. He said, really hammer hard on the resurrection. That's what got Agrippa's attention. So he's really hammering that in. Now he said, there's a difference made in my life. And for the third time, he tells his conversion experience. You know, there's something wrong with somebody that says they're saved but don't like to tell about how they got saved. Paul telling it all the time. Paul said, let me tell you how I got saved. And he begins this story, his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. I've already preached through it twice. But he gives us a couple of things that he didn't give us before. First, let's cover verse 11. He says, I punished them off in every synagogue. Here's a phrase. Look at this phrase. And compelled them to blaspheme. Now, we know Paul's wicked. He's killed people. He has drug them out of it. But I want you to think, Paul said, when I was hard on the Christians, I would beat them until they cursed Jesus. I compelled them to blaspheme. My goodness. Look what he said. He said, exceedingly mad against them. That word exceedingly mad comes from the Greek root word where we get our word maniac. He was actually a maniac, and he persecuted them unto strange cities. And he said, then I was headed to Damascus. And it all changed. Watch this. At midday, O king, I saw light. Now there's a few things through these verses as Paul is explaining his conversion experience here that he tells here. As a matter of fact, if you'll study these three accounts of Paul's conversion, Acts 9, 22, and 26, you'll find Acts 26 is the most complete story of it. And he tells a few things here that he don't tell anywhere else. Isn't that odd? Let me point them out to you. Number one, he tells us in verse 14 what language the Lord was spoken in. Look at, he said, saying in the Hebrew tongue. Now, Paul, we've already talked about it. He was fluent in, we know in Greek, and that he was fluent in Hebrew. Spoke Latin. Oh, it's brilliant. The Lord could have talked to him in Latin. Could have talked to him in Greek. But he came to him, spoke to him. And Paul felt like right here he ought to point it out. He said, spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue. Right. The Hebrew tongue. Now, I tried to read over that today, Tanya. I thought it's Hebrew tongue, okay. Boy, it just kept sticking out to me. I'd go back and look at it again. I'd think, what's that even mean? I mean, I know what it means, but there's bound to be a meaning there. Why'd put it in there? Well, let's read right here. I'm going to show you something. Look what he's saying. He said in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I said, who art thou, Lord? Watch this. And he said, I am. Oh, I am. I am Jesus. I am. It's two words. I am. I began to think about that. When Moses was on the backside of the desert, he heard God speak Hebrew tongue. What did God say out of the burning bush? I am. Now here's Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the Christians. He's bowed down under the heavenly light who's shining brighter than the midday sun. And when he said, oh Lord, who are you? Jesus said them same two Hebrew words that Moses heard out of the burning bush. He said, I am. Oh, thundered down through eternity. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad that He is. Amen. The I am. He spoke in the Hebrew tongue out of Paul and said, I am Paul, I am. I am Jesus. Now, look what he said for Paul to do. He said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose to make thee a minister. Now let's talk about that. Jesus, Paul said, when I saw the Lord, I heard him thunder out the Hebrew tongue. He said, I am. I am. Now in another account, Paul said, what would they have me do, Lord? Here's what Paul says this time. He said, Jesus said something else to me. Said he's come to make me a minister. Y'all see that word? That word minister. That word minister. Did you know what the word minister means? It means servant. It's a servant. Oh, I got to reading on and looking at it in my Strong's earlier today, Billy, and it sure didn't puff my pride up much. One of the word pictures for minister is under rower. Have you ever seen them old Viking ships? And they got them real strong fellers down underneath. They're the engine compartment. And they had a hold of them rows. And them men were called the under rowers. That word minister that the Lord uses there, He's saying, listen, Paul, I'm not calling you into a life of ease. I'm not calling you into a life, make millions of dollars, preach at the Crystal Cathedral, wear a Rolex, drive a
Rolls Royce. Oh, no. He said, I'm calling you to be an under rower. I'm calling you to get on the oar. I'm calling you to put your back into it. It's going to be hard times. It's going to be times up there to Konya where they're throwing rocks at you. There's going to be times when you're down there at Ephesus and they've got you in the theater trying to kill you. But Paul, stay true. Paul, get your hands on the oars. Paul, just keep a rowing. It's going to be hard. There's going to be work. But just keep on rowing. He told him right from the very beginning. I've called you to be a minister, servant, under rower. It's going to be hard at times. We live in this age now. I see these preacher boys coming up. The first little problem, they're ready to throw in the towel. That's not much way to be an under rower. You know, I got to think about that under rower. He never could even tell where he was going. His job was to put his hand at the oar and just keep a rowing till the master said stop. Our jobs as Christians is to put our hands to the work and just keep rowing till the master says stop. He said, we've called you to be a minister, a servant, an under rower. But look what he said in verse 17. He said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. That's a new sentence. We didn't see it in the first two. He told Paul recounted in one of the other conversion experiences, he said, I'm going to show you what things you must suffer for my name's sake. He told Paul while he was down on the ground at Damascus, said, Paul, you're going to suffer. And I tell you something else he told Paul, ain't never had time to tell it before until right here. Said, the Lord told me He's going to take care of me. Said, if I was down there in the mud, I couldn't see, crying and weeping, I heard I was going to have to be a minister, I was going to have to be an under rower, I heard that I was going to have to suffer for His name's sake. He said, let me tell you something, Agrippa, what else he said? He said, He's going to take care of me, whether it's the Jews or the Gentiles. Whether no matter where He sent me, He's going to go before me and He's going to deliver me. And He's been doing just exactly that, Agrippa. I'm telling you, I ain't got no sad songs to sing. God has been good to me. I just see Him preaching. Verse number 18. Paul gives one of the most profound descriptions of salvation that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. Look what he said. He said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Boy, what a picture of the entirety of Christian life. Paul, if you'll read through his epistles, he's great at summing up a great big thought in a sentence or maybe a little bitty paragraph, one verse. And right here, he tells everything there is about salvation, one verse. It's brilliant. He said, first thing you've got to do is their eyes are open. He said, God sent me to open people's eyes. You know, Israel gropes around in darkness as a blind man. They're blind to the things of God. And Paul said, I've been sent to open some eyes. Them pagans that I've been preaching to, them Gentiles serving Diana the goddess, serving all these different kinds of strange religions, had their prayer books and their spell books together. He said, really, the only problem they had was they just couldn't see. Had their eyes shut. And he said, God sent me with the purpose of opening their